Good morning. Proverbs. We're going to be reading from Proverbs here, if I can find my bookmark. chapter 3. Two verses there that are very familiar. And the song that Eric just led us in starts out with Almighty Sovereign of the Skies. And it goes on to talk about many of the blessings that we receive from him. We're going to read verses 5 and 6 of Proverbs chapter 3. Very familiar. Trust in the Lord. And the Lord that's talking about here is the Almighty Sovereign of the skies. So trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And then turn to chapter 19, verse 21. And in connection to trusting in the Lord and acknowledging him, verse 21 says, there are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. You know, if we trust in ourselves, we're going to come up short. We're going to fail. We're going to be deceived. If we do not acknowledge God for who he is, again, we're going to be deceived. Because God is the Almighty Sovereign of the skies. He gives us all these things. He blesses us beyond anything we can really expect, beyond anything we deserve. I just thought that was a very appropriate song with the verses there that we read. With those thoughts on our minds, let us kneel before our God.
Testimony of God's guidance. Today is June 22nd, 2025. 50 years ago, in 1975, June 22nd also fell on a Sunday. In approximately 4 hours from now, it will be exactly 50 years since Jane and I said our vows to each other, joining us together in holy matrimony. It was at this very location, here on the floor, in front of the pulpit, where we stood, facing each other, we said our vows. My father, Harry Nell, performed the marriage ceremony. Over the past 50 years, I have failed so often in many areas. But in our time remaining together, as God wills, my goal is for our love to grow even more and flourish. This morning's message will be in the form of a personal testimony of God's guidance. And my heart's desire is that all the glory goes to him. So I share my testimony with a finger pointed upward. The text of the message is Proverbs 19:21. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Based upon a study of this verse, my understanding is as follows. Man makes plans that are based upon his knowledge and perspective, and often for his own advantage. Yet God, from his perspective and wisdom, orchestrates life events according to the counsel of his own will. As a testimony of this biblical principle, I'd like to share how my goals and ambitions were often shaped and altered by a loving Heavenly Father and His hand of guidance. We sang at the end of the Sunday school, "He leadeth me." Allow me to begin with the summer of 1972. At the age of 20, something intensified inside, never happened before, and I can't fully understand, fully explain it. The focus of my ambition was centered on a young lady of somewhat casual acquaintance. I secretly decided that I wanted to get to know this young lady by the name of Jane and take her on a date. Keep in mind, cell phones and social media were not an option 50 years ago. Communication was limited to writing a letter, calling on a house phone, often with the whole family listening, or talking in person. I chose the latter. I was entering my junior year in college and I was planning to fly to Wheaton, Illinois, very soon. So it was now or wait another year. I chose the now. I was a member of the Upper Kahnawake congregation, and the young lady of my choosing was a member here at Pleasant Hill. So I decided to attend revival services at Pleasant Hill, which, by the way, was definitely out of the norm for me. My siblings later attested to that fact. Believe it or not, I did not own a car until I was 21. And I had to borrow my parents' Ford LTD. I certainly was not banking on capturing her attention driving a big family car. Back then, Pleasant Hill had two-week revival meetings during August in the heat of summer with no AC. Caleb Kreider from the White Oak congregation was the evangelist. It was Thursday evening of the last week, August 17th, 1972, that I decided to act. During prayer, there in the back, I asked God to direct my life to the life partner that was His will for me. And there on my knees, I sensed a confirmation from the Lord. After the service, out back there, the young men stood in one group on the parking lot talking, and the young ladies in another group about 10 yards away. My plan was to ask Jane to go along that evening for ice cream at the Tropical Treat. But the last thing I wanted to do was attract a lot of attention. Little by little, the guys' group diminished, and soon there was only one guy left. Brother Sam must have suspected something was up, because he conveniently hung around, continuing our conversation. I waited until the young ladies' group dwindled down to two girls. I was thankful Jane was one of them. I don't know if she suspected anything, but finally the opportunity presented itself and I walked over to the two young ladies and asked Jane along for ice cream. Her answer was that she needed to ask her dad. By the way, at that time, I never heard about the concept of courtship and checking in with the father first. As all five of my son-in-laws did. I was a little tense when Jane disappeared into the church building. When she returned, it was a relief to see a smile on her face. The evening was very enjoyable, but silence made me nervous. So I talked and talked like I wasn't used to talking. On the way to Jane's house, I missed two roads that would have been shorter in distance and drove quite a few extra miles. I dropped off Jane at her house and headed home, a very happy young man. In my nervousness that evening, I never checked the fuel gauge. I didn't realize the gas tank was on empty until I was driving through East Berlin and suddenly the LTD lost power. Thankfully, I ran out of gas in East Berlin and not the Pigeon Hills with Jane in the car. I drifted off the street, parked along the curb, and to my pleasant surprise, I ended up right in front of my grandparents' house. I knocked on their door, and they warmly welcomed me inside. I shared my dilemma and asked Grandpa if he had some gas. He told me just take his car home, and we'll worry about that in the morning. My siblings were still up, and they were very puzzled. Well, I would go to a Pleasant Hill revival service and then come home with Grandpa Nell's car. They concluded I was acting very much out of character. I share the events of that evening because it was the beginning of a life journey. It eventually would lead to a life together with my wife and I, serving in the Pleasant Hill congregation of which she was a member. One of the songs the octet sang at our wedding was entitled, "'Twas God Who Led," and it was to the tune of My God and I. "'Twas God who led us through our courtship days. 'Twas He who planned our lives as they should be. He chose to join together our ways that we together both might happier be. We pray that we will dear love each other as through the coming years we journey fast." And by the way, it was fast. We ask God's blessing on our home together, through which we know that happiness will last. Proverbs 19:21, "There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. In the plans that I had made, I in no way saw what God had in store. I was in love, and my focus was primarily on the present, not so much what would happen in the next 50 years. The counsel of His own will is what prevailed. That stood. And my plans were altered by the unseen hand of a sovereign God." I'd like to share a few of the ways God altered my plans to fit the counsel of His own will. But first, I'd like to give a brief timeline of the last 50 years. 2 months after we were married, I became a member here at Pleasant Hill on August 24th, 1975. We considered two possibilities for church membership, but settled on Pleasant Hill. And that decision was based on a vision. I had at that time to encourage young people. Although I didn't know how that was to take place. 4 years later, Jane and I were called to the deacon's office, September 22nd, 1979. In 1981, 6 years after we were called to the deacon's office, I felt a personal call to teach at Pleasant Hill Christian School. Began teaching in 1982. First day of school was Tuesday, August 31st. The initial enrollment, 12 students, with three more enrolling later to bring the total to 15. And there, by God's grace and His help, and wisdom, I served as administrator and high school teacher for 41 years. 18 days after the start of Pleasant Hill Christian School, I was called to serve as a minister, September 18th, 1982. 15 years later, I was called to be presiding elder, September 19th, 1997. Served for 15 years in that position. Jane and I have been blessed with 8 children, presently 28 grandchildren. Jane carried most of the load in homeschooling our children for 32 years. From 1977 until 2022, a period of 45 years, we had one or more children at home. I give credit to Jane's love, care, sacrifice, and faithfulness in her role as a keeper at home. Cleaning, washing, cooking, canning, teaching, and training for the benefit of the family. Proverbs 31:28 has definitely come to fruition in our experience. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. There have been many notes, letters, and verbal words of appreciation shared over the years. I'd just like to share two excerpts from two of our children. Number one, Mother, you are worthy to receive a reward. You do deserve praise. You have willingly sacrificed your time, your own desires, and even at times your rest in order to care for me, love me, and to teach me the fear of the Lord. You have given so much of yourself to be able to provide us with a godly education. For me, it is overwhelming just to think that you have faithfully taught me for almost 12 years, even though there were probably many times you could have given up. Here's another excerpt from being a wonderful mother to a good friend. You are such a blessing to our lives. Your thoughtful messages and gifts, your words of encouragement, your listening ear, your advice and counsel, your prayers, your selfless giving, and your unconditional love are among the many ways you touch our lives We love you. Was I aware of all that when I set out to win Jane's heart over 52 years ago? Did I go down a checklist and ask her 100 questions about her ambitions and character? No. To be honest, I had no idea that it would happen that way in our marriage. I really didn't foresee the kind of wife God provided, but God knew all along. Right from the beginning, He confirmed my desire and directed our pathway. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. In Spring Council 1980, one or more queries about starting a Christian school came in on the annual visit. Council decided to have the presiding elder appoint a committee to look into the details of all that would be involved and report back to council in the fall. Brother Merle Bevenauer shared the following statement: "It will take a lot of research, time, and effort if we decide as a congregation to start a Christian school." Immediately, I said to myself, that is one thing I do not want to have any part of. Jane and I didn't even think about our children's education at that point. Our oldest was 3, and our youngest was 1. I had no vision or passion for starting a Christian school. Although earlier in high school, my guidance counselor encouraged me to consider teaching, my response was I did not feel comfortable in front of an audience. I do not do well expressing myself. And he replied by saying, once you learn the subject matter, it's not difficult to teach students. Yet, I wanted no part of a committee. Guess what? God had other plans. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Brother Merle asked me to serve on the committee. His reason was that my dad was sending my younger siblings to a Christian school. I would be familiar with finding out more of what is involved. Long story short, I did research. I listened to seminar tapes. I searched the scriptures. And God did a work. He changed my heart, and I gave a report to council in the fall with a burning passion. To recommend that the congregation start a Christian school. The vision was clearly in focus, and the congregation decided to do the work of moving forward with that endeavor. But as the months passed and the plans and options were considered by the committee, we did not have an administrator nor a permanent teacher. Sister Christine Newcomer agreed to teach the first year with the goal to assist in the startup. But we needed an administrator. We needed a teacher. And as a committee, we asked numerous people to consider taking on the role. Nothing materialized. Then the other two members of the committee asked me to come on as principal and teacher, and I was in no way expecting that to happen. I did not give an immediate answer, but told them I needed to think and pray about it. One evening before going to bed, I prayed and asked the Lord to wake me up in the middle of the night at 2:00. If it was His will that I would leave the job at our family-owned grocery store and teach at the school. At that point in my life, it was quite unusual for me to get awake in the middle of the night, being a sound sleeper. Furthermore, I was out on a call for the East Berlin Ambulance earlier and was really tired when I went back to sleep sometime before midnight. What happened later can only be explained as the overruling power of God. I got awake with a pressure that pushed down on my chest and forced the air from my lungs. I was instantly awake and immediately looked at the digital alarm clock. It read 2:02. Even though it was 2 minutes later than I had asked, that made little difference in my heart, because there came flooding over my inner being a pervasive and yet calm peace that I, without one shred of doubt, knew was from God. At that point, there was no doubt whatsoever about the decision I was to make. I agreed to take the position and Proverbs 19:21 again became a reality. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Through all the uncertainty and growing pains of a new ministry, there was that previous confirmation from the counsel of the Lord to carry me through the times of difficulty when they surfaced. My original vision of helping young people at Pleasant Hill changed my occupation and my course in life. Little did I know, in 1975, that in just 7 years, I would spend 41 years teaching children and young people of this congregation. I'll share just one more, again for the glory of God. During Fall Council, 1997, the congregation voted for a presiding elder. Brother Merle Biebenauer asked that his name not be used. After the voting, my name was announced and I put up a very strong protest in my mind. In my fleshly nature, I was not happy at all. I asked Brother Merle if I could share something with the council. He granted me that time, and I basically told the congregation that I didn't think it would be possible for me to carry the responsibilities of the presiding elder and do justice to all my other responsibilities. Our youngest child was a 3-week-old baby. I had school and family responsibilities. I asked for time to think it over and requested that the body would pray and I would give my answer later. Brother Merle asked if I would moderate the rest of the meeting and I declined. There is no doubt whatsoever in my mind that there were those pleading and praying before the throne of God in fervent prayer. I never experienced such a week of intense joy and freedom in my spirit. A week later, I made an announcement to the congregation that I was willing to serve with their help, prayers, and understanding of my limited time, and I would try to do my best. I further gave testimony and praise to the Lord for his overruling power. The other ministers helped out with many of the tasks. Brothers Steve Fodor and Brother Fred Miller especially helped with hospital visits and anointing services. Even though those 15 years were not easy at all for my wife and I, the Lord has been true to his word and calling. I failed many times, for which I regret, but he has never failed us. I found 1 Thessalonians 5:24 to be true. Faithful is he that calleth you, who will also do it. At first I said, there's no way, Lord. I can't possibly travel on such a rugged road. As I struggled and kicked, he gently said, your eyes are clouded. With self-will and doubt, your view is only through temporal eyes. Surrender your will to me and I'll transform the mouths that stretch ahead into a joyous journey with the King. Go ahead, step out in faith, and you'll be amazed what I can do if you simply follow. The songwriter George Young expresses it well. In shady green pastures so rich and so sweet, God leads his dear children along. Where the waters cool flow, bathes the weary one's feet, God leads his dear children along, some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire, but all through the blood, and some through great sorrow, but God gives the song in the night season and all the day long. Sometimes on the mount where the sun shines so bright, God leads his dear children along. Sometimes in the valley in the darkest of night, God leads his dear children along. Though sorrows befall us and Satan oppose, God leads his dear children along. Through grace we can conquer, defeat all our foes. God leads his dear children along. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. To him be the glory.